dear sons and daughters. The fifth Sunday of Easter stresses the need for our reunion with Christ, who died and rose for us, and the need to bear fruit by doing good works. The first reading shows us Paul as he recounts his conversion and his preaching in Damascus to the apostles. His experience of Christ leads him to a new reading of the scriptures and to discover the plan of salvation. He yearns to preach Christ relentlessly, despite that threats from the Greek-speaking Hebrews. In the second reading, St. John continues his discussion about the truth of Christianity as faith with the great enemy of gnosis or knowledge. Love is not proven with beautiful words or special illuminations, as the Gnostics pretended, but by doing good works of love. Faith cannot be separated from a moral life. The parable of the vine and the branches confirms to us that we may only produce fruit of charity if we remain united to the true vine, who is Christ, our Lord. The first letter of St. John points out that without a doubt, one cannot show love in words and speech alone, but in deeds and in truth. If we would like to know if we belong to the truth, we must look to our works of love. Brother love is something inherent, and it is an essential part of Christianity. He gave his life for us. We must also give our lives for our brothers and sisters. However, not all of us can give our lives for others through martyrdom, which is the supreme confession of faith. The commandments of love is the greatest of all and the one that help us decide what to do here and now. We can live in the dimension of giving of ourselves in our family and professional lives, in religious and priestly life, in school and public affairs. In our hearts, if our hearts condemn us because we have not lived in a charitable way, it is of no sense to get discouraged and cut up by remorse. True repentance is not found by retreating into oneself, but by turning to God so that He, who is rich in mercy, may forgive us and give us sufficient humility to continue our journey with enthusiasm. God is bigger than our hearts, and His plan and projects reach far beyond our poor human minds. Saint Augustine has a text which applies to this subject. If our hearts accuses us, that is, if it condemns us internally because we have not acted with the intention that we should have, God is greater than our hearts, and He knows all things. You can hide your heart from others, but you cannot hide anything from God. How can one hide Him, to whom a sinner filled with repentance and fear says, "Where can I hide from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Where do I go? Where do I run?" Flee to Him. Confess your sins to Him and do not hide. In fact, you cannot hide from Him. Says to Him, "You are my refuge." And He will nourish you with the love that only leads to life. We must then live in love. But if someday we have the misfortune of distancing ourselves from God because of sin, we should not flee from Him. Instead, brothers and sisters, we should turn to the doctor that can heal our soul, we must turn to the Father of mercy so that he may restore us to a life of grace and allows us to bear fruit of love and eternal life. We bear fruit by remaining in Christ. The word remain is a key word in the vocabulary of St. John. In the original Greek, we found it 68 times in the writings of St. John and 118 times in the New Testament. In the strongest sense, it expresses the union between the Father and the Son. In a broader sense, it expresses the union between God and those who have faith and observe his commandments. The parable of the vine and the branches invites us in a very particular way to remain in Christ. It is clear that a branch, if it does not remain united to the vine, it cannot bear fruit. It dries up and it's good for nothing but to be thrown in the fire. For the branch, there is no alternative. It remains united to the vine, or it's not thrown into the fire. To remain in Christ, brothers and sisters, is to remain in grace, because without grace we cannot do nothing. To remain in Christ is to remain in him through prayer, through our inner lives. By raising our minds to God, it's to make sure that all of our words and acts are done in the presence of God and ordained by God. But there is something else. The prayers of those who remain in Christ are heard. Consider the words of Saint Augustine. To abide in Christ, what else may the faithful ones but what conforms to Christ? What else may we want but to remain united to the Savior, but what which leads to salvation? In fact, we want one thing when we remain in Christ and something else when we remain in the world. It may be that the delay in this world may compel us to ask for something that without realizing it does not help in our salvation. But if we remain in Christ, we will be heard and he will give us that which will help us in our salvation. If we ask and do not obtain, it means that we ask for is not in accordance with his word, which abides in us. We must remain united to God in our vocations, in our family, professional or religious life, so that we may bear fruit of eternal life, so that our lives will not be fruitlessly consumed by our daily routines. We should be fruitful at home, in our families, in the education of our children, in our social life, in the building of a better world, in the effort to ease the suffering of others. We must be fruitful in our apostolate, in leading souls to God. But all of this is not possible if we do not remain in Christ, the true vine. Sometimes we may ask ourselves, what should I do in this case about a particular circumstance in my life? How should I behave in the face of this difficulty or problem? In truth, we must make very hard decisions. In these situations, it can be very useful and enlightening to ask ourselves, what it is that pleases God the most? What would Jesus expect of me in this circumstance? These are questions which strengthen our souls, which ignite the love in our hearts and give us strength to face whatever comes our way of love of God and His soul. This Sunday, we are invited to love not only by our words, but our deeds and our actions. And these deeds are those of each day. They are our responsibilities at home and at work, in school, in our social lives. As of this moment, we have no other occupation but to love, as St. John of the Cross says, in the evening of life, we will be judged on love alone. Brothers and sisters, we must seek to bear fruit. However, there is a strong obstacle in the path of those who have dedicated themselves to the practice of good works. It is a fatigue that can be translated into certain disenchantment from so much struggling, a little advancing. It is a fatigue which results in the abundance of great ideals and ambitious projects. It is a tiredness which results in laziness, cowardice, and sterility of the soul. How do we escape from such an obstacle? We can escape, but each day renewing the effort to bear fruit and to work with a purpose. The world, the church, our families, the persons that we love, the mods who love us and need us, they expect the best of us. We cannot stop bearing fruit or we will die spiritually. Our spiritual life becomes the permanent and total giving of oneself for the love of God and the service of our brothers and sisters. To bear fruit is a law of Christian life. A beautiful way of bearing fruit is to lead souls to God. And this is something that is within the reach of all of us, some more, some less. But all of us have the responsibility of leading souls to God. Mother Teresa of Calcutta used to say, "The greatest service that you can do for someone is to lead them to know Jesus, so that they may listen to Him and follow Him, because only Jesus can satisfy the thirst of happiness of the human heart, which is for what we have been created." Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and forever. Amen.